Very good afternoon, and I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to Matthew 26, verse 36 to 46. A very familiar passage, I believe, to many of us, where we have the Lord's Prayer at the Garden of Gethsemane. And in this prayer, we single out one particular phrase for our consideration this afternoon. And the phrase is, "Watch with me," verse 38. The word "watch" is where we get the English word Gregory. And so if you call somebody Gregory, you are saying that he is very watchful. Now this word "watchful" has the idea of someone who is abstaining from sleep. He must stay awake. He cannot afford to let sleep take control of his body. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, "Watch with me." Not all the disciples, but a select few. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. They were named James and John. In verse 37, the two sons were James and John. And he told the rest of them to sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And then he drew out these three of them. And then as the Lord Jesus Christ approached, he began to be sorrowful and very, very heavy, very much in great distress. And then he said to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Now the Lord Jesus Christ never asked his disciples to watch with him except here. The Lord Jesus Christ is seated at God's right hand, interceding for us. He never asked us to watch with him. But in this particular account, and only in this particular account, and never anywhere else, on the brink of his betrayal, because at the conclusion you realize, the one that doth betray me is at hand, so very nearby. So just at the brink of his betrayal, whereby he will be arrested, whereby he will be persecuted, humiliated, and then crucified, and then die. The Lord Jesus Christ was very, very heavy-hearted, and he was extremely sorrowful. That's how the Bible described this account before the Lord prayed three times, the same prayer as what the Bible says, using similar words, same words, prayed the third time, saying the same words in verse 44. Watching with Christ is the title. Is it something that is very rare? Or do you think it is something needful? Now, why did Jesus ask the disciples to watch with him? Was Jesus' own prayer not sufficient enough? That he needed the prayer of these three disciples to add more potency to his prayer before the Lord? Was that why he asked them to watch with him? Now the Lord's Prayer, all his prayers that are found in the Bible are always answered. That we must acknowledge. Because there is no prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ will pray that is not in line with the Father's will. So whatever he asks for has to be answered. Otherwise he will never pray it. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the theology of the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his prayers are potent enough. He does not need another human being to add additional efficacy or potency to his prayer life. That's also obvious. He is the Son of God. He doesn't need to ask, "Please pray with me," the way that you and I need one another to pray for one another, because we are not like the Lord Jesus Christ in terms of the potency of our prayer. So when Jesus asked the disciples, "Watch with me," what was he referring to? Was he referring to himself, that he lacked strength and his prayer was a problem? That he needed the assistance and the help of these three disciples? Or was it referring to something else? Watching with Christ. Verse 36 to 38, I call this a needful request. Now you look at the verses that occurred prior to this incident where Jesus asked them to watch with him. What was the problem? The problem was the boasting, wasn't it? After Jesus told them of his soon impending departure, that he will die, Peter, in verse 33, answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended before thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus warned him, verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. So very soon, just round the corner, what was the problem with Peter? Peter, instead of quietly submitting himself to the will of the Lord and leaning upon the Holy Spirit to guide him through, he opened his big mouth again and he contradicted the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said in verse 35, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. So he was boasting very loudly, and it impacted all the disciples who were there with him in verse 35, including James and John. So I'd like to propose to you that when the Lord Jesus Christ asked them to watch with me, to stay awake together with me, Jesus was wrestling within his own soul, his own trial and difficulty that was just round the corner, just as the apostles, the disciples of Christ, you have your own struggles and difficulties, and you need to follow my example in watching, because you are also in dire strait, in trouble. If you do not watch, stay awake, and commit to the Lord what you are about to do, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall. In other words, watching with Christ is very needful till today. It is not one-off, it may be very rare, seldom do we find the Lord Jesus Christ making such a request from his disciples. Perhaps that's because the Lord Jesus Christ was always there with the disciples since he called them about 3.5 years ago into the ministry. He has always been there to protect them, to watch over them, to guard them, to guard over them, and to direct and tell them what to do and what not to do. But very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ will be separated from them. He will be arrested, and they will be, as it were, on their own. And Jesus already prophesied and warned them, I'm going to leave you, and you're going to be on your own, as it were, physically speaking. You have been leaning upon the Christ, who was the Son of Man at that point in time, where they could see him, feel him, touch him, and he was just there with them all the time, and they felt so comfortable, so safe and so secure, because of his presence with them. And then now suddenly the Lord said, I'm going to leave you, and they could not accept that. That's why they dared to boast. Wherever you go, I'm going to follow you, no matter what. I'm not going to let you leave us. I'm going to make sure that you are going to be with me. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times, Peter. And Peter was one of the three. And because of his boasting, the other two disciples also boasted that no matter what happens, you are not going to leave us. We are not going to let that happen. We are going to be with you, and we are prepared to stand by your side and die with you. That's what they boasted. And so Jesus told them, watch with me. You are also in dire straits. You may not be aware of it. Jesus was aware. That's why the Bible said that Jesus was very heavy and he began to be sorrowful. The disciples, any reaction after what Jesus said in verse 34? No, other than the boasting in verse 35. Were they sorrowful? Were they very heavy, in great distress? Because they are going to deny the Lord. And you know, denying the Lord Jesus Christ is not a small matter. And when the Lord Jesus Christ needed you to stand with him and not deny him, you are in dire straits. Don't you know that you need to be awake and alert? This is more than just physical. This is also spiritual. Watch with Christ. Be awake and alert. Watch with me. Look at Christ's example, in other words. How did Jesus Christ watch? He was the Son of God. What was his problem? What was it that caused Jesus Christ to be so sorrowful and so heavy in great distress? And he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. And he used the word exceeding, added to the word sorrowful in verse 37. He added the word exceeding sorrowful. How sorrowful? Even unto death. And so he said, you wait here. I'm going to move away from the three of you. You wait here and you watch. You are also in dire straits. You need to stay awake and you need to pray to the Lord so that you will not stumble and fall into temptation and succumb. All of us need to watch. If you ever think that you do not need to watch, you are far away from God than you could ever imagine. You are probably in a state of backsliding. This kind of arrogance, this kind of pride, the Bible warns us, is the prelude for the fall. Isn't it so? Pride cometh before the fall. So the prelude to the fall is pride. And pride means you can live your life as a Christian. You can fight God's spiritual battle using the arm of the flesh. You are kidding. Nobody has succeeded. Nobody ever will. Because anything that is of the arm of the flesh is utterly useless against Satan and his demons. Nothing will work except that which is spiritual, that can combat spiritual trials and difficulties. The moment you are born again, you are a spiritual person. Your eyes are open and you have entered and plunged yourself into the spiritual realm. And that means you are now in a spiritual warfare that you can be very, very aware of, and you can even be victorious if only you would follow the scriptures. Watch with Christ simply means know the word of God, leaning upon the Lord Jesus Christ to help him, to help you see you through your trials and your difficulties. The time when we are most prone to stumble and fall are the times when we are least watchful, isn't it? When we thought that all was well, when you thought that you are walking close to the Lord and you do not pray, and then suddenly something innocuous happened, and then you stumble and you fall and you put your foot into your own mouth. And you have brought shame to the name of Christ. How easy it is for us not to watch. When you wake up every morning, do you pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help me. This is a new day. I do not know what is ahead of me on this day. But I know you do. Help me that I will not stumble and fall. And if I ever do, Lord, help me to repent of my sin immediately. Keep me from sin. See me through this day that I will be victorious and bear a godly witness for the Lord. Do you do that when you wake up in the morning? Or do you take for granted, just wake up, brush your teeth, get everything, then rush out the door, whether to school or to work, as if nothing is going to happen. And then when you go through the day, you have tripped and you stumble, you trip and you stumble so many times, and you get so used to it, and you don't even realize that by your failures, you have shamed the name of Christ. By your failures, and not even able to recognize your own failure and your sin, you have jeopardized your prayer life before the Lord. And your testimony for the Lord is in shambles. And then you come back home miserable, depressed, filled with the pressures of the world, and you take it out upon your wife and your children to compound one problem with many more other problems. And God, all he needed from us, a very needful request, watch with me. You pattern your readiness, your alertness, your ever sober and watchful attitude, pattern it after Christ. He was a son of God. What was his sorrow? Even unto death. Now please bear in mind these three words. The sorrow that Christ was experiencing was so severe that he was about to experience premature death. He could not bear the brunt and the weight of the enormity of what he was about to do, that this frail physical body was weakened. That if he were to die prematurely, there will be no salvation, there will be no cross. That's what he says in verse 38, isn't it? My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And so the Lord Jesus Christ needed to watch. The Lord Jesus Christ told us, you too needed to watch because you are also in serious trouble. Now, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5. And I'd like to read to you this particular verse before we continue. Because after the needful request, Jesus Christ will teach us a purposeful request. It will be for our good that we watch. It will be for our protection when we watch. Hebrews 5 verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, okay, this is a reference to Christ, the who there is Christ. All right, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, that is verse 6, who is the thou? Jesus Christ. Who in the days of his flesh, so what is about to be explained to us from the rest of verse 7 and verse 8, it is a reference to Jesus Christ, not before his incarnation, not after his resurrection and ascension, it will be during his sojourn on this earth, during his incarnation. When he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. So what death do you think Jesus was referring to, the Bible was referring to in verse 7? It will be here, isn't it? This Garden of Gethsemane experience. Offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, unto God the Father, that was able to save him from death. And then the Bible said, and his prayer was heard, wasn't it? And was heard in that Christ feared. Christ wanted to go all the way to the cross. He wanted to do the Father's will, but this weakness of the flesh, whereby he may suffer premature death, he did not want that to happen, and so he asked the Lord to strengthen him, to help him. And though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So why did Jesus have to experience all these? So that he will be our great high priest and understand our trials and our difficulties. And that's why he had to endure this. Now bear this in mind. So it was a very needful request. Needful for whom? Needful for Christ and needful for us as well. Because you are always in danger of the spiritual one, and his purpose, remember, is not to take away your salvation. He cannot do that if you are truly born again. But because you call yourself a Christian, he wants to destroy your testimony. And by destroying your testimony, he can bring shame to the name of Christ. And then when you preach the gospel, after you have shamed the name of Christ, your gospel will have no effect. And that is his intention. He wants the name of Jesus Christ to be diminished in the eyes of the world. Don't let that happen in your world. He is succeeding very well all over the world. Christianity is more or less thrown aside in Europe, which was once upon a time during the 16th century Reformation, the citadel where the Word of God was vigilantly, ferociously defended, right, with great vigilance. But today you go to Europe, you don't find any. And then it crossed the English Channel into England. And now England is also capitulating. And then it crossed over into America, also now capitulating one by one with the great immorality that is so pervasive in American society. Don't let it happen in your world. Watch and be a godly witness and do not capitulate. It is a needful request given by Christ to his disciples and to all of us today. It has to be a purposeful request, not just needful. This watch and pray has to be very focused and very directed. Look at verse 39. And then he went a little farther and fell on his face, and then Jesus prayed. Now bear in mind what we have read in Hebrews. Bear in mind what we have focused on in verse 38 by the words of Christ himself, premature death. And so he prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, which is definitely possible because this is a first class condition, let this cup pass from me. Now I know that some of you might think that this cup refers to the crucifixion rather than premature death. But I have already showed you from verse 38 that it was premature death. Jesus himself said so, and this is confirmed in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8, isn't it? Furthermore, the theology of the Bible regarding all the prayers of Christ are heard and answered by God, you will have a problem because this particular prayer of Christ will not be answered. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Because if you believe that the cup that refers to the crucifixion, you have the problem of Christ's prayer not being answered because this cup was not passed from him. Then you will add to another problem to your understanding if you refer this cup to crucifixion. Was Jesus Christ changing his mind? You mean he didn't want to go to the cross at the brink and the tail end of his ministry when going to the cross is just round the corner, he's going to change his mind? Was Jesus changing his mind? Cannot be, isn't it? He will never change his mind. That was the singular purpose for his incarnation when he came. Why would he change his mind when it was nearly at the end of all that God had prophesied in the time of Adam, that Jesus Christ will die on the cross for our sins? But if you understand it exactly according to what Hebrews 5 had commented, and you have understood this according to what Jesus himself said in verse 38, this was premature death, and if this cup means premature death, then it will be not a problem, because this was answered according to Hebrews 5, 7 and 8. The Lord was strengthened. The Lord was able to experience new strength so that he did not die prematurely. That's why he was able to go all the way to the cross. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That is premature death. Nevertheless, not as I will. Not as I will. This will there is the weakness of the will of premature death. I don't want to die prematurely. Not as I will. Not as this will of mine, this body of mine that I am experiencing. The enormity of the premature death, the sorrow, the heaviness of my heart is about to crush me, take away my physical life. Not as this will, but I want to do your Father, my Father's, but as thou will, I want to go to the cross. Don't let me die prematurely. Let me go all the way to the cross. That's what I want to do. That's what verse 39 says, isn't it? And that's what Jesus Christ himself wanted to be awake and watch and pray to the Father to help him, because he does not want to fail the Lord. He was not changing his mind in terms of going to the cross. That would be a disastrous thing to say about him, isn't it? That at the last minute, Jesus Christ wants to change his mind, he didn't want to go to the cross. And then your theology of Christ's prayer, which is always answered, as the Bible revealed to us, you're going to change that because somebody will cite this example to you and say that, well, you interpret that this cup refers to the cross, and Jesus' prayer for the cross to be taken away from him, it did not happen. But if this is based upon the immediate context, premature death, as what Jesus says in verse 38, not an issue. Not an issue. Jesus watched. He stayed awake because he knew the trial and difficulty that was round the corner that he had to face. And he did not want to allow premature death to rob him of his obedience to the Father. And the disciples also needed to watch, just like Christ watched. Stay awake. Stay awake because you are also in dire straits. You're going to deny me. I warned you. And then he comes to the disciples in verse 30. And what happened? He found them asleep. And then he said to Peter, what? Could ye not stay awake with me for 1 hour? You can't stay with me. You have a problem. You all need to watch. You all need to right now. Forget about your boast that you're not going to deny me. You need God's help, God's strengthening. Watch and pray. Pray for yourself. Stay awake for your own soul's sake, for your own weakness' sake, for your own testimony's sake, that ye enter not into temptation. You see, it's your own temptation, not Christ's temptation. That's how we know. Watch and pray. It's not that Christ needed their additional extra prayer so that Christ's prayer will be more potent. It is their own, so that they will not enter into temptation, which Jesus already warned them prior to this incident. The spirit indeed is willing. I know God, Jesus says, I know your spirit is willing that you want to go with me to the cross, that you're prepared to die with me. You're not going to let that happen. When I said I'm going to leave you, you're boasting. Yet will I not deny thee? God knows that your spirit is willing that you will never deny me. That no matter what, we should die with you. The spirit is willing to die with Christ. But this is the man speaking. You need the Lord to strengthen you in order for this to become a reality, because in the future, that will be exactly what happened. Peter will die for Christ. But not at this juncture, not at this point of his life. But his spirit was truly, genuinely sincere. The spirit is willing to be what? To die with Christ and to be arrested with Christ. No matter what happens, anybody may deny, but I will never deny you. The spirit is willing, but then the flesh is weak. When it comes to crunch time, you're going to succumb. You're going to deny me. And this is what will happen. And that's why you need to watch. You need to lean on the Lord. You need to ask God to help you so that you will not fail him. The Lord Jesus Christ set the example. And if he, in his human form, needed to watch so that God can strengthen him and aid him to help him so that he can do God's will in his life, how much more you and me? We need to. It is a very purposeful request. What are you struggling with right now? What are you going through right now in your life that is so difficult, so problematic? We all have, isn't it? We all have difficulties and problems. You know, I thought that as I mature, as I grow older in the ministry, I would have less responsibilities. I never realized that as you grow older, when you are physically more tired, when you are tired out so easily as an older person, I don't want to think of myself as old, you see, but can't help it. Because there was one time I was in the lift. This man whom when I look at him, he seems so old. He called me uncle. No? I look at him, he seems older than me. I mean, in my eyes, he looks older than me. And he said, uncle, because I was in the hospital to visit somebody who is dying and we were in the lift and so a lot of people in the lift. They said, uncle, come in a bit more. Then I remember, what I look like in the mirror. Yeah, probably uncle already. I don't want to be old. But when you're old, you thought that you would serve less and you would be, you know, not so loaded, but with a diminished physical capacity, your load should also diminish. But that is not the case. More and more burdens are added. More and more problems are added. Problems in other churches, they ask you to help. Problems in the lives of other people, they ask you to help. And so sometimes you just wanted to do it your way. Because with experience, you can get things done more efficiently, much faster. And then you forget that you need to pray. You forget that this is a spiritual battle that you are in. And the moment you don't pray and be awake and alert spiritually and lean upon the Lord to see you through, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall. You're going to say the wrong things, you're going to do the wrong things. Because if you think that you can do it without Christ, you think you can go to the hospital and pray for this person whom the doctor says, in 2 days' time, we're going to put the person in life support. Bring all the family members to come and say goodbye. Because this person is not going to last long. And so our church member asked me, and the husband said, can you give my wife a Christian funeral? So the church member called me up and said, is it possible, Reverend Quack? Then I said, well, let me go to the hospital and visit her and talk to her. And she could not reply because the contraption was in her face to give her the necessary oxygen that she needed. And so I went there, tired out, exhausted, rush here, rush there, going to prepare for a Bible study after this and so on and so forth. Forgot to lean upon the Lord. Then went there, fumbled around, did not know what to do. I mean, using the same passages. And then immediately I realized that I forgot to pray. And so, even as I flipped the pages, I asked the Lord to forgive me. I asked the Lord, please teach me. Teach me to say the right words, to ask her the right questions. Because there were family members around. And then also to pray. Help me to pray. Because how do you pray? What do you pray for? You share the gospel with her. You tell her about the need to accept Christ. She couldn't answer. She makes some noises. And you do not know whether she really say amen. She say yes or no. You can't tell. And she could not move. And she was in great pain because I was told that the morphine that they gave her was non-stop. It was continuous. So I asked the Lord to help me. Forgot. Because you get used to it. Don't ever forget to lean upon the Lord. Watch with me means watch the way that Jesus Christ himself watched when he was on earth experiencing great intense sorrow to the point of death. And he stayed awake even though his body was completely exhausted and tired out. He stayed awake and to pray this prayer and to ask God to please strengthen me, Lord. I am so weak, I'm so tired, and I cannot do it, and I cannot go through today. Please see me through it. Help me. Help me. It's so easy to just simply close your eyes and sleep and stay home and rest, isn't it? You know what is the preacher's worst nightmare? The preacher's worst nightmare is to get diarrhea while he's preaching. Either he preaches very fast and then rush to the toilet, or he prayed, Lord, please help, Lord. And so this morning I woke up, my stomach was queasy. I had diarrhea. Then my whole body started to ache. And so I tried to eat my breakfast, eat some oats. Oats is a very terrible combination when you have diarrhea. Even before I finished swallowing, I rushed to the bathroom. So I told my wife, I'm in trouble. This is message number 3. I got 2 more to go. So what did I do? Stay home and sleep. Then I remember, watch with Christ. Watch and pray. Stay awake. No matter how tired you are, no matter how weak you may feel, can't even walk up and down properly, need to hold on to something, your back hurts, the joints hurts, and physically you're so exhausted because I could not eat any lunch. I just drink a can of 100 plus, that's all, to give me some electrolyte, I was told by the doctor. Lean upon the Lord. And sometimes, you see, you look at the message title you're supposed to speak, and you get scared, you know, because God may want you to experience it before you speak, you know. But now watch with Christ. I want to go home and sleep, you know. Actually, I just want to lie down in bed, cover myself with blanket, and just switch off. But I cannot. I must not. I should not. Because that would be just simply capitulate and succumb. Because that's exactly what Peter and the other two disciples experienced. Right? That's what Jesus commented. The spirit is willing. I really want to preach, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak means physically, bodily, they were really exhausted and tired. It had been a long day. Emotionally, they were completely drained. So was Christ. But Christ hung on. He did not allow his physical body to just simply shut down. He must pray. So when you are so exhausted, so tired, when you feel that you are completely weakened, that you cannot even lift up a finger to do anything, that's when you need to pray the most. The watch and pray, watch with me, Jesus says, is in this kind of context where your physical body is so exhausted, where your spirit wants to do so much for the Lord, but you are drained, you're exhausted. And that must remind you, I must go on God's strength. And you'll be fine. You must go on God's strength, not on your own strength. Thank God for a church member who is here to drive me to Tabernacle. Because on my way here in the past, I doze off many times when I'm driving, you know. Sometimes 4 or 5 times, sometimes I'm sleeping and then the car keeps moving. It's awful because it's 3 p.m. It's my nap time, you see. So now with my tiredness, with my weakness, I thank God this church member agreed to help me, drive me here and drive me back. And my wife has gone to Thailand, northern Thailand, because of emergency. The elder who is supposed to look after the ministry, he has been diagnosed with dengue, and the doctor says he has 3 to 4 more days to live. So my wife has to go. I can't go. So she went up together with another church member. And so she's also worried about my tiredness, my weakness, and my sickness. And so she has to leave. She's, I think, in the plane now. The plane's supposed to take off at 3:55. Then my children are also worried about me, and so asked this friend to assist me, to help me. You need help. Watch, lean upon the Lord. Sometimes when you experience, you think you can go it your own. God says, no, you never go it your own. And so God allowed this kind of situation to arise in your life. You think God did not know that I'm supposed to get diarrhea on Sunday? I mean, it would be better if I get diarrhea on a weekday, isn't it? Then not so problematic. But Sunday is the busiest day of the whole week. And then the diarrhea has to come on Sunday. Because God needed to teach me. I needed to learn this. Which, for the past 20 plus years of ministry, is so easy to take things for granted and to do things by your own strength. So easy to forget. So important and needful to remember. Don't forget the Lord. Never lean on yourself. Because when you lean on yourself, you will never stay awake and lean on Christ. And God wanted us to do so. And so when the disciples slapped Jesus, made this commentary in verse 41. It is for our protection that we must stay awake and pray, no matter how tired you are. Don't let the physical tiredness win the battle of doing what is God's will in your life. And then finally, not only is it a needful request, a purposeful request, you find from verse 42 to 46, a timely request. Now I call this a timely request because once it is gone, it's all over. It's not going to come back. If you fail to pray and watch at this juncture, just as the disciples fail, that's it. The Lord Jesus Christ cannot wait after the betrayal, then he starts to pray. It's too late. The Lord Jesus Christ has only this narrow little window to pray before the betrayer comes. So he must pray, no matter how tired, because the Bible says he was exhausted, isn't it? Even to the point of death. He was really tired and he must pray. He must ask God to give him the strength so that he can go all the way to the cross. And so he went away again in verse 42, the second time, and then he prayed. Now you watch. This record in verse 42 of his prayer is a little different from verse 39. Even though the Bible did say in verse 44, he prayed the third time saying the same words. Okay, same words as what? As the first prayer in verse 39, or same words as in verse 42, or same words in all the same. Well, the words are more or less all the same. Now, verse 42 says, O my Father, same as verse 39, but with a little twist. In verse 39, he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But in this case, in verse 42, he stated it in the negative. If this cup may not pass away from me. But this cup was passed from him. You see, so first class condition. So he prayed this first class condition in a negative, but this cup was passed from him. Now, if you understand the cup to be the Lord's crucifixion, then you will have another problem. Except I drink it, that is the premature death. If I do not begin to drink it. So this cup is the premature death. So if this cup may not pass from me, that means the premature death, but it did, thank God for it. Thy will be done. So he wanted to do the will of the Heavenly Father. Do not interpret this as a crucifixion, because you're going to have a lot of problems that you have created for yourself when you say that this is a reference to the crucifixion. How are you going to explain Hebrews 5, 7 and 8? There is no other record in the Gospels pertaining to the life of Christ on earth that can be tied into Hebrews 5, 7 and 8 other than this. This is a reference to his premature death. Was his prayer answered? Yes. He prayed it slightly differently in verse 42, but it means the same thing. Was this cup passed from him? Yes, it was passed from him. He didn't have to drink it. The Lord sustained him. The Lord raised him up, gave him the strength that he needed. And then he came and he found the disciples sleeping again because their eyes were heavy. Jesus Christ was different. Jesus Christ, his heart was heavy. The disciples' eyes were heavy. You see the difference in verse 37? Jesus Christ's heart was heavy because he realized the enormity of failing the Father. He did not want to fail the Father. Whereas the disciples, they never realized the enormity of what they are going to do when they fail the Lord Jesus Christ by denying him. And their eyes were heavy as opposed to Christ whose heart was heavy. And so Jesus watched and the Lord strengthened him. The disciples slept and they were not strengthened. And subsequently, in the next few verses of this chapter, Peter denied the Lord and the disciples all ran away. They failed to watch. Don't say, well, God already prophesied that they will deny. Please do not use this kind of argument. Human responsibility does not diminish or deny God's prophecy and revelation concerning the future. And God said to Moses, Pharaoh will harden, I will harden his heart. Does that mean that Pharaoh did not harden his heart? No, he did it on his own too. Just because God said Pharaoh's heart will be hardened does not absolve Pharaoh from responsibility of hardening his own heart. And he will be sent to hell for hardening his heart and not allow God's people to leave Egypt. So just because God had prophesied that these disciples will deny me does not mean that they are absolved from any human responsibility, that they actually denied the Lord. Jesus knew. And Peter experienced actual, purposeful, personal denial. That's why the Lord had to restore him in the last chapter of John. Three times, you deny me three times, I will ask you, do you love me? It was a timely request. And then he left them, and he went away, verse 44, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said to them, sleep on now, and take your rest. Refresh yourself. Behold, the hour is at hand. In other words, it's too late now. The opportunity, the window where you could have watched with me and prayed for the strengthening of your inner man, it's gone. Because now events will occur so rapidly, so quickly, that the Son of Man is going to be betrayed. You guys promised me you're not going to leave me, right? You guys promised me you're going to prepare to die with me, right? But now things are going to happen. You're going to break your promise. You're going to break your word. Into the hands of sinners, rise, let us be gone. Behold, he is at hand. That doth betray me. A timely request. When the Lord has laid upon your heart to watch and pray, and when you fail, and you did not, and you rather sleep and let it pass by, please understand, it's over. It's not going to come back. And then you're going to bear the consequences of your lack of prayer, and you will stumble and you're going to fall because you fail to lean upon the Lord to see you through. A needful request, because we need to pray. We are on dangerous ground all the time. A purposeful request. Know what part of your life is in danger right now. In the case of the apostles, they are boasting and their denial. And then a timely request. And when they let this period where they could have watched with Christ slipped away, it's gone forever. Because events will move so quickly, so fast, that one thing will lead to another, and they will stumble, they will run away, they will deny. We are also in the same state time and time again. Don't let it slip. The time when you are supposed to watch and stay awake, because there are so many people around you who need you to stay awake, isn't it? For your own soul's sake, for your family, for the church. So many who require you to stay awake. Sure, the body is tired. Whose body is not tired? At the end of the day, we all experience tiredness. But don't let the heavy eyelid be the dominant that will cause you to forget the heavy heart that is in your soul for yourself, for your loved ones, and for your friends and for the church. Pray. Watch and pray. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your goodness and Your mercies toward us, for You know our weakness, You know our lot in life. And we pray, Father, as we come before Thy holy presence, may Thy Holy Spirit speak to all our hearts, where we have forgotten to watch and to pray. Teach us never to forget ever again, and to not allow the weakness of the flesh to dull our spiritual senses, whereby we fail to come before Thy holy presence, seeking Thy strengthening and Thy enabling, to pray for before Thee, to help us go through the trials and the difficulties in our own lives and the lives of others that You have placed into our care and our charge. We thank Thee, Father, also for the Lord's Supper. And as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper, we pray, Father, for Thy Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to convict us, that we may all come before the Lord's table with hearts prepared to meet with Thee. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.